to prayer. You may ask me, what has the fact that Jesus went on the cross and died for our sins and rose again, what does that have to do with prayer? Well, and how do I pray, and why do I pray? Hopefully in the next few minutes I'll help answer some of those questions. I just wanted to say too, I have a cell phone. And my cell number is 306-662-0855. Okay, it has nothing to do with the sermon except for this. If you have questions, text me. And if I get a chance to answer them in this sermon, that's fine. If not, I will do it next Sunday. Amen. So, 662-0855. If you have questions. Sometimes it's easier to text a question than it is to ask. So, go for it. How many sometimes have questions? I wish I could just stand up and ask. Well, here is an opportunity. I will do my best to answer. Well, one day, the disciples asked Jesus, how do we pray? And in Matthew chapter 6, we hear Jesus say this. He said, and when you pray, you should not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. As surely I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in the secret will reward you openly. And it goes on to the next part. And when you pray, do not use vain repetition. Let's read this together. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for the many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. So it says there, he says, why? He says, he already knows what we need. How many read that scripture? 6-8. He already knows what we need. So the question then is, why should I pray? Well, I want to tell you this testimony of a guy called Lorne Cunningham and Darlene. How many have ever heard of a guy called Lorne Cunningham? He is the founder of YLAM, which is a discipleship training school for young people sending missionaries in, I think it's 160 different countries. This man is now in the 70s, 80s, in there somewhere. And he has been himself in every nation of the world preaching the gospel. But he shared this story. He said, before, when we were just starting out, he was just married, 50-some years ago. And we were heading to California, I think it was. And in a van, in one of those Volkswagen vans. And he said, we got to Los Angeles, and the motor blew on. And we waited 3 days to get it fixed. Now we had 3 days to get to the place where we need to be, and we meant we had to drive 24 hours a day. And so we took turns. I slept in the back, and she drove, and I drove, and she slept in the back. But on the second day, I think it was, she made a wrong turn. She headed down a little gravel road, and it was in the morning, and it headed towards Mexico, and it was a wrong turn. And as she was driving, the tire blew up, and she flipped the van. And he said, I woke up being thrown out of the van. And then I got myself through, and there was blood coming down my face, and I saw I had all my limbs, and then I looked for Darlene. And he said, I crawled up on my knees, and I looked, and I saw her laying very still. And he said, this is before seatbelts, by the way, and cell phones. And he said, I crawled up, and I turned her face. And her eyes was open, but there was no breath. Life had gone out of her. He said, I sat there on my knees, looking up in the blue sky, not a tree, not a person. It was out in the desert. And then I heard the voice of God saying, Lauren, do you want to serve me? He said he has never heard the voice of God so clear. And he said, well, isn't I already serving you, Lord? Haven't I already given you everything? And then it flashed through him his life, his own plans, his own education, his own possessions. He realized that maybe he hadn't surrendered everything. He hesitated for a few minutes. And he said, yes, Lord, I want to serve you. One of the keys to prayers, my friends, is that we come to him because we want to serve him. When he answers our prayers, it is that he will be glorified and not that I will be glorified. Then he heard, for the second time, he heard the voice of God say, pray for Darlene. And there in the desert, he cried out to God as loud as he could so all in the whole desert could hear him. I'm not sure if anybody could hear him because there was nobody there. But he cried out loud as he could for the healing of his wife, to bring her back. And after a few minutes, he could hear a gasp and her eyes began to flicker. And then a truck came by. There was a Mexican in there. And he rolled down the window and said, I'll call the police. About an hour later, a police and an ambulance came. And they brought her to the nearest hospital, which was an hour away. Later on, he heard that the police called his dad and said, your son has been in a terrible accident. He will live, although he has a broken back. But his wife, Darlene, may not even make it to the hospital. He got to the hospital, and for the third time, he heard the voice of God saying, she's going to be okay. And as they roll her in, he whispers to her, you're going to be okay. And to make a long story short, she lives and has preached for the last 53 years. But he later hears this. He hears that it was a group of 12 people in a city. I don't remember the name of the city. And in that city, there was 12 people, women. And as they were praying, they were having a praying meeting in the morning at 11:30. The one lady said, we need to pray for Darlene and Lauren. They never met them. Never heard of their names. And they began to intercede. Later on, he heard his own mother had been woken up. And she went on her knees praying for them, not having any clue what was happening to them. And so Lauren asked this question. Why did I need to pray when God already knew that he wanted to heal my wife? How many of you ever heard of a guy called Daniel in the Old Testament? Daniel 10, I think it is. He reads the scriptures in Jeremiah that says that they're going to be in captivity for 70 years. But after that, they're going to be released. They're going to be set free and go back to Israel. What does he do? This is already destined by God. So why does he get on his knees and pray for 21 days? Why, if it's already been destined by God? How many think that's a very good question? Well, here is his Lauren's answer and I'll add to that. You see, in Genesis chapter 1, God spoke to Adam and Eve and said, go and what? Multiply and take dominion. How many heard that scripture? Genesis chapter 1. So God, who has all powerful and has authority, he delegates his authority to human beings. And then Satan comes along and says, is it true that you can't eat of that tree, forbidden tree? And they say, yes, if you do, we'll die. And he said, no, you surely will not die. But if you eat of it, you'll become like gods. And so they question the goodness of God and they eat of the forbidden fruit. And in the moment they do that and they give in to the voice of the enemy, they give the authority that had been given unto the enemy. And so when Jesus comes back and he speaks to the 12 disciples in Matthew 28, and they say, he says to them, all authority has been given to me. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. He's saying to those who's willing to serve him, here is my authority, now go and practice it. But how do I practice it? I practice it through prayer. Amen. So how do I pray? Jesus says there is two ways of praying. The heathen way and the Christian way. And sometimes Christians pray the heathen way. The pagan way. And how is the heathen way of praying? You have your list and you babble and you babble and you babble. And you think the more words you use, the more he's going to hear you. How many has ever heard people recite even the Lord's Prayer? But there's no heart, there's no faith behind it. It's just a repetition. How many has ever prayed repetitive prayers without any heart in them? Nobody? One or two. He said that brings no results. That does not impress God. Sometimes people pray because they see it as a business deal. I do this, you do that. Because I've done all these things, therefore you owe it to me to do this. That's also a healing way of praying. But Jesus says, no, that's not how you need to pray. You need to start with our Father. What does that mean? Our Father. It means that Jesus Christ came and he went on the cross. And when he said it was finished, he was saying, I have forged a covenant with you that through what I have done for you, you become adopted as sons and daughters of God. In Ephesians 1, it says, he had predestined you to be adopted as sons and daughters of God through Jesus Christ in accordance with his good pleasure. How many knows that when you adopt a child, you don't adopt them because of the good behavior. You don't adopt them because they are somehow earned their way into your heart. No, when you adopt a child, it is nothing to do with them. It has to do with what you do because you love this child. You chose this child. And then you adopt them into your family. And then you write the legal papers. And the moment you write the legal papers, there is a change in your status. How many knows that's true? The moment you adopt it, you become a child of your family, not because of what you have done, not because of your good behavior, not because you are so religious, but because of what Jesus has done. Because he has chosen you and he died for you, that you will have eternal life and you will have a brand spanking new identity called sons and daughters of a living God. the creator of the universe. And so when you come to him, you don't come because you have so righteous. You don't come because what you have done. In fact, you come because you have been adopted. And you can say from your heart, Father. You see, when you're in a family, when my children are in my family, it doesn't matter how badly they rebel. They are still my sons. But when there is a business deal or whatever you want to call it, then you always live in fear that maybe you'll never measure up. And when your prayers is not answered, you think that somehow there's something wrong with you or it's a mean God. But when you are a son and a daughter, and God doesn't always answer your prayers, it's because you know that he knows more than you know. And he loves you. Amen. So he says, our God. Why our God? And so we had a Bible study at a healing lodge, and one of the ladies said, because it's a family. It's true. It's a family. I don't come to my Father. I come to our Father. That means that we are family. We are our family. Spiritually, we are family. You see, there are people in my family that I would not associate with except because they are family. I will. There are people in the church that you may not associate with if it wasn't for the fact that they're born again and they're part of the spiritual family of the world. So when he says pray, I'm not just praying for me. It's not about me. It's about us. It's about us. It's about us. He called us to stand in a gap for one another, to pray for one another, to encourage one another. I need to say something that is really, it may be a little hard, but you know the lowest times in my pastoring has been when I called for a prayer meeting. And few people showed up. And I know it's not the numbers of people. But I know why they don't show up. They don't show up because they don't really believe that the prayers matters. Well, Hans, I thought you just read that you're supposed to pray in the secret. Yes, our prayers come with our intimacy with God. But there's times, like in Matthew 18, it says, where two or more gather together, there is he also, and we stand in agreement. Lauren Cunningham has a vision to reach every nation and translate the Bible to every language. By 2000 and something. He's calling a million prayer warriors for it to happen. You know, I know when somebody has a child that is dying or hurting, they come for prayer. Because they think, just in case. But God does call us individually to come to him and cry out to him, but also corporately to cry out to him. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Are you offended? I know that this church does not exist apart from prayers. I know that every Saturday night I stand and pray that the Holy Spirit will show up. And I have looked, and I look up on the Indian Reserve. I looked upon the healing laws for years and said, Lord, open the doors. He says, our Father, who art in heaven, he starts with worship. How many knows how our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. It's a worship. It is worship. Sometimes we start with babbling. And we talk ourselves into unbelief before we actually get to really pray. How many has heard prayers that just, man, there is no faith. There's just a whole bunch of groaning. God doesn't want us to start like that. He wants us to give thanks. There's a reason we start a service with worship. Because unless you're in worship, you can't really hear what the message is. So when I pray, and I'll admit to you, my prayer life is sometimes it's great, sometimes it's not as good as it needs to be. But this is what works for me. I worship first. This morning I woke up and said, thank you, Jesus, for this amazing Sunday. Thank you that you saved me and chose me, that you rescued me. Thank you that you are my Lord and my Savior. Thank you that you brought me to my Heavenly Father. And thank you, Jesus, that I can overcome all things through you. And thank you, Jesus, that I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. I thank you that you turn all things out for good for him who loves him. I give him praise. Sometimes Paul stands up here and he says, open your mouth and say thank you to Jesus for something. How many hear the scripture says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and petition, in thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God will do what? Will guard your heart and your mind. In fact, the beginning of that scripture is rejoice, and again say rejoice. You can't but rejoice when you fix your eyes upon what Jesus has done. Rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. How many comes to church? Sometimes you come to church and you're heavy. How many has ever come heavy to church? But when you start dancing and singing, the heaviness lifts and your spirit starts receiving. He says, your kingdom come. Your will be done. What is he saying? What is his kingdom? What is his will? You see, what he's asking is that I pray his will. That I pray according to his desires and hearts. The reason I believe that Lauren could pray with such amount of faith was because he heard God say, pray. How do I hear God, what God says? How many knows that when we struggle, we often don't see it the way God sees it? Often we can only see the despair and the hopelessness, and we can't see the big picture. But God wants us to come surrendered. Romans 12, it says, offer your body as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to him. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do I renew my mind? I renew my mind by meditating on the scriptures. How many knows what God may say about your health? What may God say about your finances? What may God say about your future? You know it by meditating upon what he says. Amen. His kingdom, his will. I surrender to his kingdom. That means his presence. That means his rulership. That means his lordship. Amen. And then he says, now, ask for your daily bread. He says, ask, petition him. It's okay. Petition him. And then the last part is confession. I don't want to go on any further. I don't want to go through the whole the Lord's Prayer. Because I want you to pray. I want you to pray. Let's say it together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptations, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Jesus spent in the mornings talking to his Father. What do you think he said? Do you think he babbled? Or do you think he adored his Father? And allowed the Spirit to show him what he needed to do. I think that's how he prayed. When it says, our Father, it is about family, but it's also about this. It's also being a brother of Christ. This is what he says in John 20 when he rises from the dead and Mary comes to him. He says, do not touch me because I have not ascended to my Father and your Father, my God and your God. Our Father means also that we are brothers and sisters in Christ. And he says in John 17, that as God has loved him, he loves you. As God the Father loves Christ, he also loves you. But Jesus also prayed loud. He says in Hebrews 6 that he cried out loud with tears. And he called us to pray also loud together. So my friends, as sons and daughters of God, I'm now going to ask you to pray. Don't look scared. I remember the first time I prayed out loud, I was sitting in the circle. It was a couple's night. Blair and Leanne might even have been there then. And Jim Gascholin, he said, now pray. Everybody pray. In turns. How many has ever done that? And they started with that person and that person and that person. And they begin to count. Sooner or later, it's going to be you. And I sweated bullets. How am I ever going to pray? I don't know what to say. And I still remember what I said. I said, thank you for the sunshine or something like that. That was my prayer. So I'm not asking for any eloquent prayers today. I'm just asking for you to pray. Whatever that is, it may just be thank you for the beautiful day. But my friends, pray for your family. Pray for those God has put on your heart. Our Father, may His kingdom come in my home, in my kids, in my church, in Maple Creek. Is that okay? I'm going to ask Renee to come and play this softly, if you don't mind. So if you would spend another 5 minutes, okay, maybe that's too long. Let's do 3 minutes. And just, if you can, bow down. If not, just close your eyes and bow your heads. And talk to your Father about what's on your heart. Come to Him as sons and daughters. Accept it because of what Jesus has already done for you. And just talk to Him. Amen. How many say that's okay? We could do that. Let's close our eyes and bow. And if you want to bow on your knees, get on your knees. If that works for you, that's awesome.